Welcome to the Digital Marketing Podcast, brought to you by targetinternet.com. Hello, and welcome back to the Digital Marketing Podcast. My name is Kieran Rogers.
And I'm Daniel Rowles.
And today, Daniel, we're going to be working through some essential digital marketing tools.
Absolutely. So we've got five new tools for you. And as normal, we'll kind of take turns walking you through the tools and telling you why they're so useful. So one that I really liked that Kieran's pointed out to me is Quill Engage. Did you want to tell us what Quill Engage is, Kieran? Get straight into it.
I will. So I came across this, I think I found it, it was pushed at me when I was looking at some Google Analytics stuff. And essentially, it's an analytics tool. You link it up to your Google Analytics account. And what this little puppy does is it will write you an English language report on your analytics. It's like top level. And it's amazing. Like, as a digital marketing strategist, this terrifies me because this could actually put me out of a job. These reports are better than anything I've ever written.
So it pulls out the key statistics from your analytics and it writes a narrative. And it will give you some high-level stats saying, well, this much traffic's gone up, this much it's gone down. But then it gives you a narrative saying things like, well, although this has gone down, the overall traffic has gone up by this much, and however this has stayed the same. And what you can then do, and I wouldn't just use this and just throw those reports out immediately, but you can go through and edit it, and it gives you a really solid starting point. Mm. The quality of the English and the narrative that it outputs is surprisingly excellent. So it's really, really worth taking a look at. And actually, it's a huge time saver from that point of view as well. So you can go in. It is in beta, I think, at the moment in terms of...
They've got a free version, which is what I've subscribed to, which just enables you to link it up to one Google Analytics account. If you're an agency, you can link it up to 20 for so much and 40 and 60 and what have you. You sort of add to the plan. It even reports on, you know, the analytics metrics for AdWords. So you do get a little paragraph about that. What I would absolutely love or kill for is for this company to develop one that goes through your AdWords campaign and does a similar thing. I think that would be amazing. And it's probably not far off, I would imagine.
Well, this works at the moment. This connects up to analytics. But these tools that allow you to bring in data from other platforms are very, very useful as well. And maybe we should move on to one of those straight as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is swydo.com, S-W-Y-D-O.com. As normal, all of these links will be in the show notes as well. So if you go to targetinternet.com, go to the resources section, you'll be able to find all of those. But tell us about swydo.com, Kieran.
So Swydo, well, I had a problem. I had a campaign that we were running on Google AdWords and on the Bing Yahoo network as well. And the client wanted reports on this. So I didn't want to have to do two separate reports. You know, why would you? I just want one report for the client that pulls it all together. And the existing tools that I did use didn't do this. So I went out searching. I looked at a number of different things, and I found Swydo. And it's a bit of a diamond of a tool, really. Really, really love it. You can actually report on all manner of different things. And actually, when you start looking at the number of different services that it can pull together into a report, you start to realize, actually, this would make a fantastic dashboarding service to pull together the specific metrics. So the reports themselves, they've got some standard reports, but you can customize them to the nth degree. And you can either pull out, you know, just specific metrics that you want to report on, or they've got widgets, which include graphs and charts and kind of table summaries and what have you. But you can link it to Bing and Yahoo, to AdWords. You can pull in your analytics. You can pull in, if you're using a voice over IP, you can connect this to your telephone service, a report on telephone calls. You can connect it to Pingdom to report on website uptime. There's a lot in there. Facebook stats, Facebook advertising stats. It pulls it all together into one place. And the cost of the tool, I think it starts at around $60 a month, which actually for what you get is an absolute steal. This report, you know, these reports can be scheduled. They can also be templated, so you create one report that you're going to use again and again, and you can roll that out for different departments or for different clients, you know, depending on how you work. It's really, really good. And, you know, the other thing I'd really recommend this one for, because it's really impressed me, remember I'm only paying $60 a month for this, is that their support is second to none. It's all there available via chat, and I've always had an answer within about 5-10 minutes of posting anything up there. And actually, there was one particular issue I was having with one of the reports. It was reporting on an American date format. And for those of you listening in America, we love you dearly, but we really struggle with your date format because it's all the wrong way around, as I'm sure you struggle with ours. And they didn't have a solution for it at the time. But they said, you know what? We think it's a great idea, so we're going to put it on our development list. And 2 days later, they released it and emailed me to let me know. I thought that was phenomenal.
Absolutely. So on to the next one, and one that we're going to be using as well. So we use some of the Moz tools already. So Moz.com have a lot of SEO tools. They have a kind of monthly subscription service for those premium tools. And there's something called Moz Local. And I've been aware of Moz Local for a while, and I just didn't think it was really for us because we're not a local business in the, you know, we don't have shops or we don't have kind of things like that. But actually, as a business, we do have a physical office, just like most offices and businesses do. And actually, we've never really spent much time making sure that's listed properly. And we were actually having a problem because what would happen? You go and search for target internet and we'd show up number one, number two, number three, number four and five and so on in the Google results. That was great. But over on the right hand side, there was a completely different business listed that was a security company that was somewhere else in the country. And that's because we hadn't really paid attention to the local side of things, actually listing our office on Google Maps and so on as well. Now, the other advantage to this, and Kieran will talk you through it in a minute, how it kind of works. But actually, if you think about it, your local listings in various different places are linking through to your website and are pointing at you. And are again, just giving signals to Google about your website. So it's just a bit silly, really, if you're not doing it, if you have any physical location at all, because if you've got the office or if you've got hundreds of retail outlets, even better. So do you want to talk us through it, Kieran?
Yeah, so local as a search engine optimization strategy, it was a real big noise about it last year, wasn't it, really? Because with the advent of various Google algorithm updates, your local positioning became more and more important. And actually, as Google and other search engines go further and further down, you know, tailored for specific users, local is a really important factor. You know, as a user of internet services, I very often will want to go not just with the biggest national distributor with the biggest marketing budget. I actively choose for certain things to go with a local provider. It's beneficial to me. So the search engines are clued into this because it's important for the users. And for any business, I'd say you should be clued into it as well. And one of the changes that's come about really within the search engine landscape is a thing called citations. So you'll all be aware with Google that links were always the big thing. Get more links. More links are really, really important. And links definitely are important, but the search engines now go one step further and they look for references to your business. But the search engines are still, you know, they just rule out. An algorithm is just a list of rules, nothing more. And therefore, it's not terribly intelligent. And one of the things it looks for are letter patterns. And if your letter pattern referencing your business isn't identical in lots of different places, it won't necessarily work out that, you know, all the mentions of your business are for your business. It gets confused. So the aim of this kind of localized search engine optimization is to ensure that, you know, wherever you're referenced, that your citations, you know, mentions of your business are all in an identical format. And really, we're looking to make it as easy as possible for the search engines to recognize those are references to your business and to link to them. So there's some key things you have to do. You have to make sure that your business name and address are identical in all the places they're referenced. And also you need to look at the format of your web address. And this is one where a lot of big brands fall down. I work with lots of big brands across the country. I've not met anybody yet who's got this 100% right. So take a look at, you know, how do you reference your website in Facebook and on Twitter? And in your email and on various different social networks. And you'll find sometimes you have the www, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you have HTTP or sometimes HTTPS. There's all sorts of little variations that can creep in. And it's really important from a citation perspective and also from a linking perspective that as many of those are identical as possible. So you can do it either way. It doesn't really matter, but make sure it's even across the board.
Quick tip. While you're doing this, I've seen loads of occurrences of this recently. Just go into Google or just go into your browser, in fact, type in www.yourwebsite and do it without the www. And make sure it works. Now, that sounds a bit silly, but there's a setting on your server that actually, if you don't have it set, the www.website and the one without will be seen as two separate websites. Mm. So what can happen is you put it in without and your website won't load. And there'll be a load of people doing that. So real quick tip, it shouldn't be a problem for 90% of you, but just double check and make sure that's in place.
So consistency and references are important. And what Moz have done with their Moz Local product is very clever. They've taken a look at the known, recognised places of influence that various search engines reference, particularly Google, but I'm sure Bing and Yahoo take notice of these as well. And they've said, right, let's make it easy, because actually it's a bit of a pain in the backside to go to all these different services and check your links and your listings. And that's what people were doing when, you know, local search became a really real big thing in the SEO world last year. And they've pulled together a tool which literally helps you to manage that. So for, I think it's around £80 a year, they will enable you to manage how you're referenced and what your listings say in lots of different places. And it pulls in together, certainly seems to rely on your Google verified reference, and then compares that with all the other references that you've got. So taking a look at Foursquare and taking a look at Thompson Local and taking a look at various other business listings and networks.
We should say at this stage, it's only set up at the moment for the UK and the US.
Yes.
So if you're outside the UK, sorry, but that's not set up for you. But they should be doing that in the future. And if you want it for your area, obviously go in and drop them an email and show that there's a demand in that area as well.
So you fill out one nice form. It asks you lots of questions. It gets you to upload specific photos and tell it all about your business. And then it will literally en masse either submit or update your existing listings, or if you don't have them, submit them and improve your local visibility and literally put you on the map.
There you go. So well worth doing, especially for the budget that's involved. Right, we're going to move on to the next one, and I'm going to get this one out of the way. Because as you may have listened previously, you may have heard, I don't know how many mind mapping tools now that Google has told us about. Kieran has told us about.
Kieran, Google.
And so the same oracle of knowledge that you are,
it's
just like Google.
Funny.
Coggle.it.
Okay.
Tell us about it.
This is a dream.
Get out of the way. You've got a minute.
One of my favorite things. Right. Coggle is a mind mapping tool that works in the Chrome browser. And I love it because it's so simple and it's just a click away. And it's got a freemium version. Beware with the freemium version because your Coggle maps are public. I don't quite know how people access them, but then they're not kind of secure. But if you paid for it, you can have them. It also, although it's online and in the cloud, you can download them in various formats and you import them into your much beloved tools. But what I love about it is it's collaborative, so you can have several people in the same Coggle at once adding stuff. It's brilliant.
So Kieran's mind obviously needs a lot of mapping. Anyway, so let's move on from that as well. It is a useful tool, I should say, as well. Last one. This is one I've been using lots and lots lately, and I just want to put it into context. So Canva.com is an online graphics package. So basically, you can create graphics. There are huge amounts of templates. It is remarkably fast, considering the fact it's web-based. Very, very easy to use. The way that we use it and the way it's kind of geared up for is there are templates in there already. So there's templates for infographics, templates for Twitter posts, for Facebook posts and those kind of things in the right sizes and formats and ratios.
Ooh.
And you can go in and edit them very easily. So what we've done is create a template for pretty much every social platform with our stock photography in the background and all those sorts of things. And then when I'm creating a Twitter post, if I want to add a graphic to it, I can do one that's kind of on brand and has got the right imagery in it very, very quickly. But it also means if you've got a distributed team, people can get in and edit things without you needing lots and lots of licenses for something like Photoshop. And not that there's anything wrong with Photoshop, but the reality is it's quite a complicated thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas actually this is really simple. So even a non-graphics person can use this. You go through, you edit up your graphics, and then you just download them. And there are free versions and there's paid-for versions for teams and things like that. If you use their stock images, then it's normally $1 for a download, whereas if you're using all your own imagery, it doesn't cost you anything to download things. We just found from a workflow point of view, this is really useful because lots of different people posting things, giving them consistent branding, consistent templates in the right ratios, it means your social updates are all looking on brand, they're all looking good in terms of the layout and so on as well. And it just makes it really easy and quick to do as well. So Canva.com, well worth taking a look at.
And I guess it puts all your main image library in the cloud as well, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so what we've done is we've taken the main image library. We use iStock for buying images. And we've gone through, we've got a big library of stuff from iStock. And we've been able to upload that so our team can access it. and they can drop those in as background images and those sorts of things as well. So it means it is cloud-based. You haven't got to have the files locally to hand and so on as well. And actually, if the central team want to change the image we're using or to change the template, they can change the template and then it's available for everyone else as well. So in terms of your kind of social media working practices, even small teams up to large scale ones, it makes life a lot easier as well. So well worth taking a look at. So thank you for listening. We hope you found those tools useful and we'll be back with more tools again in the Digital Marketing Podcast.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Digital Marketing Podcast, brought to you by Target Internet. If you'd like to get more information on the show, get hold of back issues of this podcast, or get details on any of the links we mentioned, please visit our website at www.targetinternet.com. If you've enjoyed the show, we would love to read your feedback. Please rate us in iTunes, or even better, write us a review. Or if you have any questions, please get in touch. We'd love to help.